Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 99 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Saturday, August 25th. I'm Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S, and also on Instagram with the same username. And that's pretty much the only social media that I am currently keeping up with. You can also find me on Goodreads. I don't remember my username, but if you, it's all linked on the website, which is kitchenstitches.com.
I'm Katie, Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E on Ravelry, Katie B, K-T on Instagram, and you can find my Goodreads links and stuff like that from my Ravelry profile.
Today, sorry, it's been a while. We always apologize. It seemed to go a little bit longer this time. We meant to podcast last week and it was just busy. We've had vacations and stuff between the last time we podcast and now, and life has just been super busy. But that should make for an interesting episode. I know I have a lot of FOs and whoops.
I have one.
Lots of acquisitions. So it'll be a nice, meaty episode. So let's get started with some finished objects. Do you want to start or should I start?
I just got one.
Okay, I'll leave it.
So I finished my In the Light by Casey Day Crozier, who is Tangerine Designs. In the Light is an asymmetric shawl where you knit using two strands of fingering together, and it's a fade type shawl with a kind of a lacy section at the bottom that I kind of made up because I didn't follow the pattern right. I mean, it's kind of like what the pattern's supposed to be, but it should be a little bit neater. And you can do knitted on, you can do fringe or not fringe, and the fringe is knitted on and you basically drop stitches.
That's fun. I want to make that.
I'm so in love with this right now. I love the way it melded, marled and melded, the colors I chose. I want to marry this.
I have one of my acquisitions we will talk about when we get to that, because I think it might be fun for that.
Yeah. So I used, there's pictures, some pictures on my project page, but to describe it, I used the dark purple, like purple with a black overwash, is Round Table Yarns in her Camelot base, which is an 80-10-10. And then the other, the middle color is Lemonade Shop, her Mighty Sock in the Hawking colorway, which is like a cream colored base with this medium to dark purples, and then a flecks of other bright colors, but they're not loud or they're just flecks. And then I used Plucky Wintry Mix, which is a nice kind of gray white at the bottom. And it's so squishy because it's two strands of.
So it's three colors.
Three colors, yeah. But yeah, these just perfectly melded together.
Yeah, that is really, really nice.
So I want to marry this. So I finished this. I got my little bit of my mojo back and finished this when I was in San Antonio. Or got a good chunk of it done when I was in San Antonio for a week without TV. So I need to block it to soften it up just a little bit. But it's nice and squishy. I have yarn to make another one. Or fantasize about making mm-hmm. another one. I don't know if I want another one exactly with fringe or not. Mm-hmm. I don't mind the fringe, but I'm like, that's just a little much to have two shawls that are the same with fringe. So, so that's my FO.
I love it. So I've got four knitted FO. Wait, is that right? One. Account, yes, four knitted FOs and two spinning FOs. So, in chronological order, I finished my Constellate by Hunter Hammerson. It is it's a hat, and I used Kim Marie's Knit Knacks in Stargazer. And this is, if you follow Hunter Hammerson, She's been doing a lot of patterns with these dip stitches, and that's what this is. I can't decide if I like it or not. I did not like knitting it, I will say that. I didn't enjoy the knit stitches. I mean, the dip stitches.
The dip stitches.
They just, that one row would take so long. It was maybe something that had fewer, or in a maybe a heavier gauge, so you didn't have so many in the row. But, and I also don't like the way, I cannot get this. The cuff is, what do you call it, folded, and I can't get it to stay, so I'm not thrilled with it. It did block out nice. It was really tight, and it blocked, so it is a little bit slouchier, and it fits okay. My husband still likes it. But
if he'd wear it once or twice,
yeah,
then...
it's okay. It's just not my favorite. I think maybe I would have enjoyed this yarn in socks better than in the hat.
Yeah.
It's a really pretty, it's black or like a really, really dark charcoal gray with a deep purple and kind of some flecks of pinkish. And I think it would have made really neat socks. I think it would have pulled in a really cool way. But
yeah, it kind of pulls. Big sections are pooling.
Yeah. But, oh, it's also super sparkly. So there's that one. And then I have the Knitting at the Library Cowl by Corey Eichelberger. And I used a mini skein set from Open Skies Yarn in the Eternal Sunshine colorway. And I shortened this a little bit. It's one of the cowl. It's a cowl that is snug, so not a infinity cowl or anything like that. It's not going to drape. It'll be snug around my neck. And the pattern has you repeat. It has four different kind of sampler sections, and you're supposed to repeat that once. So you have each section twice, which would make it obviously twice as long. But I did, well, number one, I don't think I had enough yarn to do that much. And I also didn't really need it that long. And this, it's snug.
You can almost wear it as a hat.
I've actually tried that. But it's snug around my neck and it's plenty long enough. Houston doesn't get cold enough often enough for me to need something super, super snuggly. So under a jacket, I think this will be nice.
For the one or two days the wind whips down through downtown or something.
Yeah. The colors, I like all of the colors separately. I don't know how well they worked in this. I think something that maybe was...
I think they go together.
They do. I mean, there's elements of each one of the color sets that is brought out in the next section, but something about it, like, I don't know. I think it feels disjointed to me. But again, it's wearable. It's pretty. The yarn is pretty. The patterns were fun. I like the way this one is called a broken stockinette, and it makes this neat little kind of crosshatchy look. And I like the way it looks. I didn't enjoy knitting it very much. It involves twisted stitches, and it was kind of, it got a little fiddly, but I do like it. No, wait, that's not that one. I think that's this one. But either way, I do like it, and I learned new stitches in the process, so that was fun. And then I had a finishing party today, between yesterday and today, because I was so close to getting a couple of things done. There was no way I was going to come with like half a row left or something. So I worked last night and today to get the next two finished. So the first of those is the Curie Shawl by Very Busy Monkey. I used Yarn Carnival in the Oil Slick colorway for this, which is kind of the main color is kind of like a periwinkle or cadet blue, I guess.
Yeah, more cadet blue.
Yeah, it's cadet, yeah, I would say cadet blue with some periwinkle in it and kind of some chartreuse. I don't see oil slick when I see it, but it is really pretty. I was concerned that this was going to be really small because you start with this working side to side, to make this garter stitch section, and the triangle part where the garter stitch was really small, but the knitted on edge extended it quite a bit. And when I walked it out today, it's got a 7 foot wingspan, so it's actually really drapey. It's a sort of like a really shallow triangle shawl, and so it's almost more scarf like, but it has a nice drape to it. It's really pretty. I'm very happy with it. I don't think I've knit a very busy monkey shawl yet that I haven't been happy with. Her patterns are just excellent. They are heavily charted, but she usually does do a written instruction as well. And I'm obsessed with her patterns. So very pleased with that one. And the ends are even more woven in. And then the last knitted object is a baby surprise jacket, which is a kind of a classic pattern by Elizabeth Zimmerman. It's kind of like knitting origami. You make this really weird shape and then fold it up and it makes a baby sweater. And we have a coworker who is pregnant. We have multiple coworkers who are pregnant, but only one that I feel like I am good enough friends with that I would want to knit anything for them. So I knit this. I think the recommended needle size for fingering weight on that is a size 6. So I went down a 4 because the last one I made, I know was much bigger than I wanted it to be. More was probably closer to a 12-month size. So I went down to a 4, and I probably should have gone down even more than that. I mean, it's fine. It looks fine, but this is easily a 6-month baby size, and the baby is going to be born theoretically in October. So he may or may not get much wear out of it, but I forgot to say the yarn. This is Savvy Skeins, one of her sock yarns in Rusted Wagon Wheel, which is it's grays and oranges of various different tones. It is not traditional baby colors, but I wanted something a little bit more masculine and non-traditional, and I think it's really pretty, and I love the way the yarn knit up. Really, really nice colorway. I'll buy some of this for something else again. It does need buttons, and I don't have any yet, so I'll have to go out and buy those, but I think I'll wait on that. And so I'm right before I gift it. I'm also not super happy with the seam. You do a seam to it's basically across the arm and shoulder, and I did a crocheted, like a slip stitch on it, so it's got this kind of bulky seam. I almost undid it and did it on the other side so that the seam would go across the top, but I figured the baby would not most likely be wearing this
next skin, to the skin,
so I didn't worry about it too much. But it is kind of, there's a very visible seam that I'm not thrilled with, but I don't know what I did for the last one I made. I'm sure I didn't mattress stitch that. Anyway, I am pleased with it. And it was quick. I started this after we got back from vacation. It probably took me about 2 weeks. So not too bad at all. Then the two spinning finished objects I have. The first is Gritty Knits Rambouillet and the Supernova Bright. And I got about 539 yards, which is very, very respectable. Probably a DK.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it turned out really, really pretty. It's just a bunch of bright colors. I mean, it's not rainbow, but it is more fluorescent than I would typically do. It's kind of funny because I said it reminded me of Lisa Frank in the last episode, and that it doesn't. It didn't turn out that way at all. But you can see where
I mean, there's brights, but it's not screaming.
Yeah, there's enough darker colors to mute the neon.
Yeah,
and it turned out really great, and that's a really respectable yardage. So
well, and there's enough colors in there you could pick a blue or. Yeah, you're not really a pink or purple person, but you could pick one or two of those colors to
laugh when you see my
to stripe it with or something. Yeah. You know, if you were gonna make a shawl or
yeah, it's great though.
It's pretty
and it's super squishy. And then the second one I finished I finished spinning it, or finished plying it last night and soaked it today. And this is fiber optic yarns. It's 80% Polwarth, 20% silk in the Raven Wing color. I got about 274 yards of this one. And that's probably a worsted.
Heavy, is that like blues and greens?
Yeah, I wish if the light, in the sunlight, it is really, really cool. It's actually kind of like a really, really dark navy with greens and blues and purples. So it really, if you think about what a Raven's Wing or I think of grackles here in Texas, mm-hmm. where if you see them in the sun, they look black, but they have that kind of iridescent sheen. And then, of course, the silk in here also gives it that bit of a sheen. So this turned out really, really nice. It was not the most exciting spin because the color, it was hard to see any color change, and it was like knitting. It was like spinning black yarn, but turned out really, really great, which I'm not surprised. And that's it. That's all of my finished objects. What else? Let's see. Do you want to talk about your whips?
Sure. Well, it's been five, 6 weeks since we recorded.
It's been about 6 weeks, I think.
Still kind of working on my Russell Street shawl by Megan Doherty. I'm only like on the fourth or fifth color on the strip in the bottom. I'm just not working on that very much. That's at work. Even though it's only a handful of stitches, I just not working on it at work. I started a Drachenfels a couple days ago. Decided to use some of my cashmere.
That is a great bag.
It's Sharks. Of course it is. It's one of my You So-and-So bags. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's doing bags anymore. She stopped making bags for a while, and now she's kind of trying to dye yarn. I think she's got some family stuff going on. So I'm using 100% cashmere from Plucky. This is one of her sport weight bases.
I can't quit touching it. That is so soft.
So three colors I'm using are two drifters, which is a really pretty like denim-y blue. It's one of my favorite colors. Cressy Road, which is a dark purple, and then I think that's Silver Queen, which is a pretty silver on the cashmere. It's a really silvery gray. So Drachenfels is by Melanie Berg. It's an asymmetric shawl with stripes where you knit sections and then stripe in other colors and stuff. So I started that. Plucky released a couple patterns the other day. I started one called Meld, which is more like, it's long and skinny. It's like a really shallow triangle scarf, but it's really long and skinny. And you hold two things of yarn together to do that. So I picked Oxford, which probably isn't the best yarn because it's harder to knit. So I'm using a gray color as the consistent color through all the color changes. And then there's five other colors that I picked. A light brown called Map Room Fiona, which is kind of slimy green. Think Pink, and a purple called I Feel Pretty, and then Vintage Icebox. So that'll be a scarf shawl type thing. Let's see, and I did actually a row or two on my Yowza Wayette shawl, which is at work also. I'm using Miss Babs Yowza for that. So that's what I've got on the needles right now.
I'm sure that I have other things on the needles, but I couldn't remember what I had actually touched and what I hadn't, so I'm focusing on five items still. The first is my Separate Ways sweater, which is a pattern by Hoki Locatelli. I'm using Stunning String Studios Smashing Sock in Rusty Gate, which is a kind of almost like a chocolate brown. Spicy Mustard, which is, it's kind of a golden color. And Dutch Coral, which is a kind of rosy pink. And this is a striped sweater. It has, you do the front and the back with horizontal stripes. And then there's a panel on the left side, I believe, that is vertical stripes. And it's a very, it's a boxy type sweater. And I, at home, I've made very little progress on this because it has really long rows and I cannot get through a single row without the kitten coming to check it out.
Of course.
Kitten's doing great, by the way. If you follow me on Instagram, you're welcome for the kitten spam. But I've got, it is joined in the round except for the pant. I mean, it's okay, it's not in the round, but it's in the round, it's knit flat, but all of the, I'm doing front and back of the same, except there's a gap where the panel will go. And I am about, I have to go, I don't remember how many rows, or how many inches below the armhole, but I think I've got, actually I can tell you, I have out like a sheet where I'm marking them all, so I, instead of having to keep measuring, I know about how much each stripe is. So I have got 7 more rows. Let's see, wait, about 6.5 more colors. It's, each color is separated by the brown, so I've got 6 more full stripes with the brown in between before I get on to whatever I do next. And I did get, actually, I think I got maybe 3, I got at least 3 colors done when I was on vacation. We were gone for a week and I took it with me, even though our packing was tight, but this went with me anyway. So I got quite a bit done on vacation, came back, and what I've decided I can do to actually make progress on it is to take my iPad in the room, in the back in our bedroom, shut the door and watch a podcast and knit on it without the kitten being in the room. I started doing that and then decided to make the baby surprise jacket. So it hasn't gotten much love since then, but I'm gonna really love this sweater, I think. Then I have, let's see, what do I pull out? Okay. This one is my, I'm also doing a Yowza, but I'm doing Yowza Weigh It number 4. And it is, let's see, I don't even remember what shape this is going to be in the end. I know that you do like a garter on the bias and then
The Soul Killing knitted on border. Yeah. It's actually not that bad, yeah. But yeah.
And I'm using my hand spun for this. This was Rock and String Creations. It was 2 colors. One was Mine of the 7 Dwarves, I believe, which was a bunch of jewel tones, and Denim, which was a denim blue, applied together. And it is striping really nicely. I'm really enjoying it, and it goes really quickly. I haven't measured. You wait. You do it until it's like a certain percentage, yeah. And I'm nowhere near there yet, but it is nice mindless knit. This is probably going to work with me now that I finish the Carrie shawl, because it's perfect. The rows never get too terribly long, I don't think.
No, yeah. I've made 1 or 2 of those.
Yeah. So that's going well. And then I have, this was barely started. This is Keatsies, and that's another Hunter Hammerson hat. Literally, I've got,
Heidi's
3. Room? Yes. I'm using Undead yarn in her DK. I don't remember what the base is. It's DK. whatever that graveyard. No.
Oh,
maybe. Okay. I don't remember. But it's the Lustre colorway, which was her Houston Fiber Fest color. I don't know if I've podcasted since I started trying to use this. This yarn has been tried to be multiple things, and I could not. It was not cooperating. So Keepsies is actually almost, it is, I don't remember how long the brim is. It's just a normal, probably 1.5-2 inch brim.
Yeah.
And then it's just stockinette, and it's folded at the top, kind of like a paper bag. I don't know how, or like a present, like you fold in the corners.
Instead of decreasing, you just take it and make 4 points or
I haven't read that far in the pattern, but yeah. I thought that maybe it just needed the stockinette to just let the yarn do what it wanted to do. It was very stubborn. I think this is the third hat that I tried.
I have a set of 4 round table things that I've thought about making 4 different things with, and I'm like, yeah, we'll take it back. Yeah. I took it back upstairs.
I really like the way the color was knitting up. It's white and turquoise and kind of a reddish orange with some brown where the turquoise and the orange meet. It's going to be really pretty, but it's not being cooperative. And then, let's see. I've got a funny story with the bag. But
is your needle sticking out?
It is. Yes, my needle is sticking out. So, the danger of using super, super little bitty sock needles. So I'm making Hermione's Everyday Socks, which is a free pattern by Erica Luter, and I'm using Atomic Fiber Co. and Hocus Pocus, and not obviously, but it is a Halloween color. It's mostly orange and black, but there are flecks of green and darker orange. I think there's purple in here, but I'm not seeing it. No, I think it's maybe not purple, maybe pinks. It's mostly greens. Flecks of green, but
I almost thought that was like Heidi yarn.
Oh yeah,
that's what I thought you were gonna say.
So
you can tell your sad story.
I'll tell my sad story when I get to acquisitions.
Okay,
I do have a sad story, but it's not undead yarn, but it's very Halloweeny. It looks like something Heidi would dye, but yeah, it's they're Halloween socks. It's fun. The pattern's boring. I mean, Hermione's every day. At least it's something other than stockinette. But I'm having a hard time. It got worked on a lot while we were traveling. But funny story about the bag. I'm using a Java Jenny, our kitchen counter crafter bag, that has spider webs. And it actually has some spider. Well, I think I only have one. On my
there's
notice
one like
too.
In the seam yeah. or something. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of spiders on it. And when we were on vacation, I had this bag with me, and it was on the floor right next to our suitcase. My husband got up out of bed. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, my God! Screams. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? You know, we're in New Mexico. I'm like, what creature is in our room? He's like, oh, that's not a real spider. He saw it and he just freaked out. It was really funny. They do look real. I have actually not gasped, but I've had to look twice a couple of times. But that was very humorous. And then last but not least, I have another hat. It's Slippery by Sarah Dupuis, I guess that's how you say that. Using Madeline Tosh Vintage Worsted in Augustus Gloop, which was part of their Willy Wonka series for the Yarnathon last year from Eat Sleep Knit. And
are they not doing the Yarnathon this year?
They are. It's a sea theme. I wasn't interested.
I guess I've just been ignoring the emails.
Yeah, and I haven't been buying a lot from them this year. Well, I bought from them a lot last year because I was buying all of this yarn. But it's just a really simple pattern. It's not a ribbed pattern, but it has these yarn overs that actually pull it in to make it look ribbed.
Yeah.
So it's got these slip stitch yarn over things. Simple, really simple pattern. The yarn is dark green and light gray. It's actually a very nice Slytherin color if you are into the Harry Potter theme. I'm about halfway done with this, I think. And that's it. Those are all of my whips. And because I just finished the spinning yesterday, I haven't put anything on the wheel yet. Next up is a Christmas colorway from created by LCB. That I think I'm going to try to do a 3-ply for socks. I don't usually do 3-ply. I'm a little worried. I don't know. They probably will end up being too thick if I do that. Everybody says you have to do 3-ply for socks. I don't care. I do 2-ply because I like plying 2-ply. I'm not good at chain ply.
Can you, I don't know anything about spinning, but is there a way to do like a nylon thread if you do a 2-ply?
This particular skein is a BFL nylon, so it will have a little bit of that in it already. They apparently wear out more quickly, but I don't think I don't wear through my socks. I'm not really that concerned about it. My hand knit socks that I've done out of hand spun seem to be fine. They don't get enough wear. I have so many pairs that not one single pair. Yeah, and I'll be, I will keep that in mind when I won't wear. If I were going to put them on to hike or something like that, I wouldn't choose that pair because right. I know they might wear out more quickly. But it depends. I probably will divide it as if I were going to do 3 plies and see how thin it's going and then decide. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it. If I do them in little strips, then it will be easier to divide them into 3 sections or re-divide them into 2. So we'll see how it goes. What are you planning to cast on soon?
Let's see. Apparently Hohe's having a big knit along. She always has a big knit along in the fall for 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Starts September 1st, goes through middle, end of November. So I was thinking about casting on a hipster shawl anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a crescent shaped shawl, mostly garter, because I'm all about the garter. And I think there's a couple rows of like crossover stitches where mm-hmm. you take like 3 or 4 and cross them over.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like that.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of fringe on it. So, excuse me, I'm thinking of doing that either in Plucky Knitter Cozy, which is merino and camel, or Yakety, which is 100% yak. That would be sea salt. I just don't know how I feel about a whole scarf shawl in a light cream color. But I'm finding that I like the asymmetrical or the big crescent shaped shawls better than the big V.
I can't wear the big V ones for the most part. I'm too short. And they just...
Well, you have all that. I like to wear that stuff in front.
Right.
I'm not wearing it in... And I'm finding that when I sit in my office, I'm cold. I want my shoulders covered and my arms covered. I really need to take my poncho to mm-hmm. work and wear that because...
Yeah. I've had my starting point wrap, which I wasn't sure I would ever wear because it was so huge. I've had that at work for the past month, and right. It has been so wonderful.
Well, I've got my 2 wraps. I have the Spring Fever and the Second Avenue that I need to pin out and block and take those to work. So I have a big, I need basically a blanket. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I can wear a sweatshirt or something, but I'm finding a use to actually wear my...
In case it's not obvious, our workplace is frigid. I've heard they moved, one of the groups, they moved down to offices on the basement level. It's 64 in their office. Yeah.
Mine's consistently 67 to 69, but I'm in the archives where they have to keep it at that temperature. So going outside when it's 100, it takes me like 15 minutes to warm up. One day I've been wearing my Hidden Falls, that one that you helped me when I cut. So that's a big wrap. That, and then I had my Paris du jour, so I had both of those on, and I had a hat, and Albert's like, what are you doing? I may have had mittens on too. I was just so cold when I had a sweater on too.
Yeah, I was telling, I don't know if it was Albert, Albert is Katie's close coworker, but his desk is actually right across from mine, and I think that's who we were talking about. I mean, I think I was talking to him about the fact that, you know, I used to have hats. I've taken all my hats home, apparently. So, and he didn't believe me. Like, yes, there have been times when we've been bundled up, you know. I had the mitts out this week. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's hormones or something. It's just every once a week or so, I just freeze to death in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So the hipster shawl, I decide which yarn I want to use for that, and hold out and start that next week so that I'm in the guidelines. And then I got yarn, I'll talk about this in acquisitions, to possibly start another In the Light. So, but I think if I do, I might not do the fringe version of that.
Because I have finished a very busy monkey shawl, I am now getting ready to knit another very busy monkey shawl. The one I'm going to do next is called the Knot Garden Shawl, K-N-O-T, Garden Shawl. And it is, I'm pretty sure, I don't think I still have it open. I'm pretty sure it is a triangle shawl. And the it's three sections. And the two on either side, I believe, are stockinette, and then it just has a lace section and kind of like the diamond shape in the middle of that. I think that one should be fairly straightforward. And I'm going to make that using Shalimar Breathless in gunmetal, which is deep, deep stash. I've had that for probably 6 or 7 years. I bought it specifically. I think I was going to make a, oh gosh, what is that shawl? A Multnomah shawl with that one, and I ended up using something else instead. But that may even get cast on today. I'm not sure. Either that or I'm so regimented, I have my list of things like that I kind of cycle through. It may wait until like I would be working on the Curie shawl, except I've had that at work, so that's kind of out of the rotation anyway. So I don't know, we'll see. I suspect it'll get cast on today because I finished two things and I don't think I can handle not casting on something new. Acquisitions, I will go first this time. I have a lot. Some of that is because we vacationed and I bought souvenir yarn and fiber. Let's see, what else is on here? That's most of it. Then I have a couple of things that are not actual yarn. So let's go in order. So the first is my monthly purchase of Lidium and Fiber Arts. I got August colorway, which was, it's called Pretty Petals, and it's, how would I describe this? I think it's got a cream base with purple and kind of a yellowy, golden yellow, and it's kind of sparkly. Speckly. This one I actually bought, we flew to New Mexico. And we had already gotten on the plane. I'll go ahead and tell my other story while I'm as part of this one. So we got on the plane to leave, and there was a delay because there was, I think, like this mesh that is in the cargo, like they needed to fix some bolts or something like that. And it turned out it was going to take about 2 hours for them to fix it. So instead of making us wait and deal with all of the connection issues, they put us on another plane. And while I was waiting, once we got off the plane, went and then, you know, we were like boarding section B, is the Southwest. So I had a little while before we actually boarded. I remembered that it was August 1st, so I bought yarn while I was waiting. And I looked at my husband, I was like, I may or may not have bought yarn. But, so that's where that came from. Earlier, maybe, I guess I had gotten it probably that week and cast on socks with already. This is my Undead Yarn story. I had bought Undead Yarn from Heidi. It was the This Is Halloween colorway, which was white with fluorescent speckles. It was really, really pretty, and it was really, really soft. And I was making a, I don't even remember what pattern. Oh, yes, I do. I think it's called Forever After. I can't actually remember the name of it. It was by Danny. I don't remember her last name. She does the... I can't remember. She's British and does a podcast. And she does the Christmas Eve cast on, like, sock cast. I don't know her name right now. I can't remember. Anyway, I was making... It was a really... This was our 25th anniversary trip. And it was this wedding-themed pattern. It was I wanted something up with a little bit of a cable. It was the perfect yarn pattern combination. And I had it when I got off the other plane. And we got on the new plane and we're sitting there, and we had either already taken off or we were getting ready to. And I looked down, I was going to get my knitting, and my knitting bag was gone. And we had to rush from one gate to the other. It either fell out of my purse while we were walking through the concourse or while I was sitting waiting to get on the other plane. I don't remember it falling out, but I did put in a lost and found request thing with the airport, and they haven't found it. I mean, if they hadn't found it already, I think it was kind of a lost cause. But I don't remember who suggested that I try that. But I did. Didn't work. I did make a couple of people giggle when they saw that I had lost my knitting at Hobby Airport, which I didn't make the connection because Hobby is a new kind of a ubiquitous name around the Houston area, but knitting Hobby, yeah. Anyway, I was glad to make someone giggle at least. I'm still mourning the yarn, but I've moved on. okay, there's that. And there's my story. Let's see, what else? Okay, so on vacation, we went to Albuquerque, and then we also went to Taos, and we went to Santa Fe. I had intended to yarn shop in both Taos and Santa Fe, but I decided by the time we were in Santa Fe, I was good. I had other things I wanted to buy. But I did hit two yarn stores in Taos. The first one was Vortex Yarns, and it was less than a 5-minute walk from my hotel. We had to walk past it every time we walked down to the plaza. So that was one of my first stops. They had house dyed yarn. The owner actually dyes yarn. So I have Vortex Yarn, actual yarn, which is called Labyrinth, Vortex Yarns Labyrinth. I don't know if it's the colorway is Perry Vary, but I think it's Periwinkle Variegated. But it's kind of just like a regular purple, a periwinkle, and kind of a charcoal gray. And they actually had it knit up into a shawl, and you could get the pattern free when you bought it. So I did get the pattern. I probably will actually use this to make that. But what is this? I don't actually know. It is merino, bamboo, and nylon. And then she dyed fiber as well. I had picked up a bat And then I saw the braids, and my husband was very helpful, not sarcastically, but because I was trying to decide and asked him which he liked better, and he liked the braids better and helped me choose the color. So this is...
Plus that packs better coming home.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. This is Merino Silk Bamboo Roving. It does not have a colorway, but it's kind of a, I don't even know what color green this would be. It's not limey, it's not chartreuse, but it's more of a yellowy green than...
Yeah, not quite olive.
Yeah, it's going to be really pretty. This is going to be, I can already tell, the prep feels good. I think this will be really nice to spin. So there was that from that yarn store. And then we went in. There was another yarn store in, actually on the plaza, called Mooncat Fibers. And I kind of expected the yarn store on the plaza itself to be more kitschy with more commercial yarn and, you know, nothing special. But it was a really small yarn store. It was probably about the size of your living room, maybe this space. And I talked to the owner, and she said that she specialized in indie yarns. And she said that, but she also did have Malabrigo, I noticed. But that's, you know, it's kettle dyed. I mean, it's
right.
Not. But I don't remember all of the other dyers she had, but I asked if she had anything local, and she said that she had Willy Wonka, which she lives in Los Alamos, which is pretty close to, it's between Taos and, it's in the Taos Santa Fe area, and she is actually her main supplier. So that was pretty cool because I know of this dyer already. I think she's vended it. She was a kid in you one year when we were there. But I know that Elizabeth Dark Matter Knits. But I ended up buying two braids of fiber there that I will ply together. One is called Harvest Sunset. Yeah, they're both in the kind of a gold color range, but this one has some peach.
Yeah.
And a little bit darker brown. And other than that, they're fairly similar. And then the other one is Winter Wheat. And this is going to be really nice applied together. And I don't remember what these are Merino Silk. So that was all of my yarny purchases, or all of my fiber purchases on our trip. What else did I have? Okay, only one more yarn thing, and then I've got a couple other things. Sorry for the crinkle. I got this yesterday. So I follow a dyer, Wolfiend. She's Wolfiend, but I think her Instagram name has two D's at the end. I follow her, don't remember how I ran across her, but she was having a mystery skein sale. And those are hit or miss, actually. The two that I've done recently in the past year, whenever I did them, were kind of miss rather than hit. But she specifically said the only reason these weren't seconds, they weren't anything that didn't sell, she just had too much stock, and she didn't, there were a lot of things she just didn't want to photograph at all. So she said that she wasn't she wouldn't send anything that was ugly, and, you know, so
it's pretty yarn.
Yeah, and
it's
was $13 a skein. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, it was a really good
deal.
What's
it normally go for?
Probably, I would guess probably $25-$26. I mean, I would say it was probably half off. And she also said, I mean, none of this is, but she, like, there was a chance of getting some cashmere, and she had said that she would match colorways or color families as much as possible. So I ordered two skeins, and she threw in a third for free, which was super, super nice. And I mentioned earlier, Katie said, you know, she knew the pink wasn't my thing. Well, these are all pink. In the pink family. Although I've actually been thinking recently, I was like, I wanted to do something pink. So this one, sorry for the crinkle. The only problem, it's not a problem, because, you know, one of them was free and it was really inexpensive yarn. None of them are the same base. So these two, the
one has sparkle in it.
Yeah, one of them has sparkle. They're, one's an 80-20 sock, so 80% merino, 20% nylon, and one is, I guess, 75-20 and then 5% stellina. Those two are basically the same base, but with one has sparkle. So I could probably put those two together into something. The other one is a 75-25 sock, which is a lighter fingering weight, so I don't think I could mix them. I might be able to.
If you were doing not that you would put all three of those together for a shawl.
Yeah, I was thinking that it might be fun for something like the, whatever that one's called, I can't remember.
In the Light?
In the Light. But I'm not sure now. Because this could be... I don't know. I don't know if that would work. So, colors. One of them is a more of a tonal. It's pink, but more on the purpley pink side. But it's
like a purple overwash a little bit. Yeah.
And it's, that one's just more tonal.
Yeah.
The middle one is neon-y. It's got a lot of like neon yellow and black and like a really, really bright magenta and some orange. And then the other one is a really pale pink with orange and like bright pink and some blue. They're all really, really pretty. I was so happy when I got these. Mm-hmm. It was just, I mean, like, I don't normally buy pink, but I do like pink. And this was, I probably wouldn't have picked them, but they were all really, really, really pretty. So I'm very, very happy with that purchase. And I mean, it's really beautifully dyed. So mm-hmm. I haven't knit with it yet, but I would recommend her. And the customer service is great. I mean, she threw in an extra skein. So that was really nice. So, other acquisitions. I'll save the best for last or the most exciting for last. So a few months ago, I had stupidly left my bag with my Turkish spindle on the ground, and my husband accidentally stepped on it and broke the spindle. So I ordered myself a new Turkish from Turtle Made, and it's a 3D printed little Turkish spindle. So the arms I got are candy apple red, and the, what do you call it, shaft is kind of the, like this grayish color. I've barely used it. I broke off the fiber to test my other acquisition. And I also got, as a gift, an enamel pen that has When in Doubt, Go to the Library, which is really cute. The Fiber Share partner, the one that I sent stuff to, saw it and sent it to me as a thank you, which was really, really sweet. And then finally, my last purchase. While we were on vacation, I got a notification that there were Electric Eel Mini wheels.
Oh,
I forgot about that. That were available. So, as an early anniversary present for myself, I bought a little mini, and it's tiny and cute. Just this most adorable little thing. But it's smaller in length than my iPhone. It actually fits. I can sit it on my iPhone. It's really adorable. It came with three spindles, a drive band, which is, it's very homemade. It's very makery. Very, very makery. I've only spun one thing on it. So I have like the one little sample that I spun on it. It's taking some getting used to. It's really easy to use, but I'm having a hard time getting the tension right to get it to take in the fiber, take in the yarn after I've spun it. And it's also, it has a little, what do you call it, to turn on and adjust the speed. It just has a little dial, and I'm having a hard time getting the motion right. Like, if I need to speed it up, like, how do I keep it from not overspinning and that type of thing. I also am used to I'm used to spinning on my wheel the Ladybug has set yarn guides, like they're set at a specific length and you move them up as you go along. And this one has two yarn guides that you can slide closer together to adjust where the yarn is spinning on. And I have no idea how you do that, like, gracefully. But it is really cute. I have some fiber. It either came with this or it came with the Turtle Maid. I don't remember which one it came with. But I brought it. I brought the cable if you wanted to try it later. But and it's so, I can fit everything in a project bag. So terribly cute, terribly exciting, and very inexpensive. It was like $75. I do understand now why someone would want an electric wheel. I wasn't really sure, because for me it's very meditative. The whole process of it is nice, and just I can zone out. And as I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, well, I could do that with this too. And it's much, much faster. So,
or you could sit in your chair with a TV tray or something in your lap and not have to be at your wheel.
Right. So it is, it's a toy. I mean, this one is, it's small enough and inexpensive enough. I would only use it for samples. I have seen other people on Instagram who have theirs who are using it, you know, more of a production wheel, but it'll only hold about an ounce at a time, I think.
Yeah.
So you're not talking like huge volumes of yarn with this, but I have so many fat fiber samples and I enjoy getting those. This will be good for spinning those if I don't want to spin it on the spindle. So that was all. It was my,
okay.
It was a lot.
Okay. In no particular order, I got, I was enabled by Bags by Awesome Granny and Carrie from Knitters Gotta Knit podcast. And I follow a handful of crochet people on Facebook and Instagram that do these really pretty shawls that use gradient yarns. Mm-hmm. So I bought a huge big cake of My Melody by Wooltrium. This was it's someone in the U.S. who then contracts with someone overseas, mm-hmm. like in Germany. But I did get it like in 3 weeks or whatever. And so it's a big gradient cake and you can pick your yardage. So this is like 1,200 yards.
Oh, wow.
But they have, you know, if you wanted, they have different sets of yardage. So mm-hmm. you can't, and then tons of different gradient sets. So it's four, it's like a four ply, but it's not twisted together.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular cake is big as your head. it's a gradient cake, so it changes color, but each strand does it at a different rate.
Oh, okay.
You can buy them, cool. You know, depending on how it's dyed and put together, they can all change at the same time, or it can be a little more of a marled. Carrie and Darlene were both making Augusta shawls
mm-hmm.
out of theirs. I've already made an Augusta shawl, but I think I would make another one, and that's kind of what I got this for. If not, maybe some other sort of shawl. I mean, there's definitely enough yardage there to knit or crochet a shawl. So, that is that. And it was reasonably priced for the yardage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was dye to order or whatever, so it was a couple weeks to wait for it. My lemonade shop came today. So, I got... she had a colorway come out in July called Roller Skates. So it's like a cream base with like a teal streaks and then some fluorescent pink and some speckles of pink and some darker black or whatever. So I was thinking of using this in another In the Light. Because I have tons of plucky in the various teals,
mm-hmm.
and I like teal, and I look good in teal. So that was kind of my thought of this. So we'll see about that. And I really enjoyed knitting it. I love this hawking was so pretty. And then, the scrappy thread. She makes project bags and these little like zipper pulls or progress keepers. Mm-hmm. So she had posted on Instagram that she was making these. They're like basically it's like a button without the shank. So it's a zipper pull or a progress mm-hmm. keeper. But I'm anything pirate or skulls, and so this is the black fabric with the white skull on it. So she was making those, and so I got two of them because, well, they were like $4 each, and it was like more to ship it than it was to buy it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just get two then. Of you course. Know, we'll make it worth the shipping. So I'll add that to a project bag or a project. So here is my Bargello kit. Yeah. So, I follow.
I'm on another rabbit hole.
I follow Brooklyn Craft Company, which I think it was started or is partly run by Brett Barra, who used to be a host of Knit and Crochet Today. She was an editor at one of their crochet magazines for a long time. This is a kit. Bargello is kind of very retro 70s pattern, but this is a planner, and so it comes with everything you need. So it comes with the glass, which we use as a vase, the floss, or it's actually
like yarn, yeah.
Right, yeah, it's heavier, I forget what they called it. It's like tapestry wool or something like that. So you get like 8 or 9 little baby skeins of that. You get the grid, the plastic grid.
It's like the yarn that you would get with like a rug hooking.
Yeah. And you get the pattern and a link to, and a needle. It comes with a needle. So I've never done cross stitch. I'm hoping I can figure this out because my eyes are bad. I may have to get some better reading glasses. But it looks pretty, and I think it'd be pretty once it's done. So that is a Bargello kit.
I like the design on it. It's very southwestern on the colors. It reminds me of New Mexico.
Right. Well, and we have a couple Bargello books at the library. So there's some different patterns and stuff. I went and got one of them.
So it's kind of like a cross between like embroidery and plastic canvas and cross stitch, or at least that kit is.
Right. Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
I hadn't either, and then they've been pushing the class and the kit and stuff on their website, and started selling the kit on the website. So
that's cool. I like this.
And the kit itself was like $45 or $50. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that's more or less the cost of the materials. So
cool. That is.
So yeah, I'll try that sometime. And then I went last night to Hobby Lobby and bought some knit fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So I can try and make yarn cozies.
I love this unicorn fabric.
They didn't have a huge selection of knit fabric. Mm-hmm. They had maybe 10 prints and then a handful of solids. Mm-hmm. But they had this unicorn one, and then I like this one. So yeah.
Do you have a Joanne close out here?
Yeah, there's one on Fry.
Yeah, I wonder if they might have a better selection. I haven't been in a Hobby Lobby in a long time.
So, well, I need to start with this first.
Yeah.
the whole $10 investment. Because I, haven't used a sewing machine in 20 years. But it's a half a yard each. So that should get me plenty of trials.
I think so.
I mean, you know, yarn cozies are basically the size of a can koozie. So, so I got a fabric that has unicorns, a white background with unicorns on it. And I like kitschy stuff
really
like that.
I love that fabric. That would make a really cute bag. I mean, not in a knit. But in
And then the other one's kind of a retro navy blue with birds and stuff on it.
Before we get into the reading and watching, that reminded me that, so we are, you know, I've mentioned the past couple of podcasts, my kids have moved out, and we are finally making progress on doing something with Eli's room. We pulled up the carpet last weekend. Was that last weekend? Yeah, which was not hard at all. And we were going to, the plan was to stain the concrete. And we started watching videos, and it just really, really looked like a pain. It would be, and you know, all of the main thing that looked so like such a problem was actually removing, like rinsing it off. And we were inside. I mean, we have a shop vac, but I was a little concerned about using, you know, you have this etcher stuff that you put on to make the concrete more porous. I'm like, well, what's that going to do to the shop vac? And I wasn't sure about it at all. And Jimmy, I was more sure than Jimmy was, and he was not, he was very skeptical. So we started talking about it, and we actually decided to go with the luxury vinyl plank instead, which is just snap and go. It looks really easy to put in. It's not very expensive. There's no adhesive necessary. I mean, it looks, I'm sure it's going to be harder than it looks, but it looks fairly straightforward. So we actually decided to do it in two chunks. So we bought you have to alternate, just like with knitting, you have to alternate boxes because the dye lot might be different. So we are getting four. His room is only 11 by 11, so it's a really small bedroom. So perfect place to start and see how this goes. We're getting four boxes of the planks. We got two last week. We're going to go get the other two tonight. And maybe next weekend, when it's a long weekend, we'll try or at least start putting it down and see how that goes. So his room is actually, originally my plan was to make that one my craft room because I figured it would be finished before, and I am antsy. I may have mentioned in a podcast earlier this year, I have a friend who she needed to get rid of a sewing table because they were moving permanently to Australia. They have since moved back, and I keep thinking maybe I should ask her if she wants her table back, but kind of like, you gave it to me. But it's a really nice koala brand, just like really, really nice table, and I really want to get it out of the garage and actually put it in a room and actually learn to sew. But
at least you have a table to work on,
right? And so we've since decided that we're actually going to make Eli's room into a guest room. We have his twin size bed. We have a queen size bed frame that we, not frame, just a headboard that we had bought when we first got married. And I think we even still have the metal bed frame. We don't have a mattress for it, but I think we're going to put that in there. It just makes more sense, the layout of the house. So that one's a little bit closer to the bathroom. They're all on the same hallway, but it's slightly farther away from our room. It's, you know, easy, you know, if you're directing someone, it's right there. So we want a place, you know, when my mom comes visit, or if we have friends come to town or something, we actually want to have a place, because we've, for the past 12 years since we've been in the house, they've, you know, had to camp out on the floor or something like that. So that's the plan for that one. And then Laura's room we will make into my craft room when that one, it's, she's still got some stuff in there. Anything that is in there at this point, I think we can probably just toss. So we'll get to that one. Her walls are this bright green that we painted, not too long after we moved into the house. And I was thinking about painting them, but I kind of like the green. It might need some touching up, but I know that I'm going to move my yarn stash in there. I'm actually thinking about buying another like a big cubby to have it in. But I'm not sure. So that's all crafty related. So reading and watching. Do you want to talk about your stuff?
Sure. Let me pull my notes back up. Let's see. These are all going to be vague reviews because I forget things 2 minutes after I read them. So in July, I slogged through Warstorm, which is the fourth novel in the Red Queen series by Victoria Aveyard. It just took me forever to get through that book. Part of it was just my mindset. Part of it was, why does this book need to be 700 pages? It's also told from like five different people's point of view. So it didn't pick up until about 80% the way through the novel. So I thought it was kind of a slog. I also read You Think It, I'll Say It by Curtis Sittenfeld. I like her books. This is a set of short stories. They're a pretty quick read. I think I read it in less than a week, just reading at night. They're all different. They don't intermix. They don't have anything to do with each other. I think I may have a review on Goodreads for that. But I liked them. I like her stuff. It is a girl. Curtis is a girl. I just finished You're the Earl That I Want by Kelly Bowen. This is the third book of hers I've read. A typical historical romance. I enjoyed it. It had a little bit of a mystery to it, which was kind of poorly written or unnecessary. And then I personally like historical romance. So I don't read a lot of contemporary, I don't purposely seek out contemporary. I will read them, but I don't purposely, because to me contemporary always seems fake and contrived, because I'm like, what 30-year-old has this, and it just always seems a series of implausible things for that character. But I needed a palate cleanser. So I'm reading a book called Stud in the Stacks by Pippa Grant. So that is the main character, the male character, is a 30-year-old hot librarian who reads romance novels. And he's known as Mr. Romance. And so the book opens with him, of course, he's a hot male librarian, at a bachelor auction for literacy or something like that, wearing basically a Speedo that's like a Tarzan outfit. So he's like 30, hot romance reader. So, stud in the steps. And so the female character is slightly older. I don't know if they've said her age, but I would say 37 to 40. So part of it is my issue with the book is insta-lust. Like, I'm all hot and bothered by just looking at you, and we've spent 10 minutes together and have our hands down each other's pants. I'm like, because that doesn't work that way in historical romance. So, I mean, it's okay, and there's the whole library aspect, and he's a romance reader, so he's, the author's throwing in names of other romance novelists, and there's some library drama and stuff, so I'm like about halfway through that one. So, but there at this point, there's been this insta lust, and there's every other sentence is of how horny she is and talking, using the same like four words over and over. I'm like, I don't need to know about your crotch and your panties every 2 seconds. I don't mind hearing about it every once in a while, but I don't need to know about it every 2 seconds. Hopefully I didn't offend anybody, but I like sex in my books, but not when that's, it's not, okay, that's all I got.
Okay, let's see. Again, I haven't, it's, some of these, it's been a while since I finished. I'm actually going to read the description from Goodreads for a couple of these because I just don't remember enough. So the first one was The Weight of Ink, and I talked about it the last time. That's what I was reading. It was a very dense book. I really did enjoy it, but let me read this one. It says, an intellectual and emotional jigsaw puzzle for readers of A.S. Byatt's Possession and Geraldine Brooks's People of the Book. Set in London of the 1660s and of the early 21st century, The Weight of Ink is the interwoven tale of two women of remarkable intellect, Esther Velasquez, an immigrant from Amsterdam, who was permitted to scribe for a blind rabbi just before the plague hits the city, and Helen Watt, an ailing historian with a love of Jewish history. As the novel opens, Helen has been summoned by a former student to view a cache of 17th century Jewish documents newly discovered in his home during a renovation. Enlisting the help of Aaron Levy, an American graduate student, as impatient as he is charming, and in a race with another fast-moving team of historians, Helen embarks on one last project to determine the identity of the document scribe, the elusive Aleph, I don't know how you pronounce that. Electrifying and ambitious, sweeping in scope and intimate in tone, The Weight of Ink is a sophisticated work of historical fiction about women separated by centuries and the choices and sacrifices they must make in order to reconcile the life of the heart and mind. It sounds a lot more high-paced, especially with that race to whatever it said about the race to the competition with the other research team. It was not fast-paced at all. It was pretty much, it was a bit of a slog, but it was a good slog. I would recommend it to anybody who really enjoys, like, dense literary fiction and really likes things about, like, historians and that type of research. It isn't a light read, but it was worth reading. Then I finished Borderline by Anna Pigeon, which is the 15th, I think, in the Anna Pigeon series, which is a series, if you haven't read it, it is Anna Pigeon is a park ranger who works in, she has worked in each book, she's in a different national park, and there are a couple of repeats where she goes back, but for the most part they're all in a different one, and this particular one was set in Big Bend, which is in South Texas, where I've been before, so it was really cool to actually know where she was talking about and all of the different places I could really picture it. So I really did enjoy that one. It was, her books, they are fairly graphic. I mean, they seem to be getting more violent. So if that is a turn off, then it's number 15 in the series. If you read it, you're probably going to keep on, but you know.
Well, but you don't want to be like the Stephanie Plum books where it's the same book regurgitated over and over.
And they aren't. I mean, it's something different in each one, and right. She's dealing with a lot of mental demons and that kind of stuff. But it's
still 15 books out.
Yeah. Well, they're newer demons. But I am still enjoying them. I'll keep on. I think I've only got maybe 4 or 5 more in the series before, you know, to catch up. Yeah. So I finished that one while I was on vacation, and then as a palate cleanser, I read another chapter of my coworker's book. I feel obligated to keep reading, but they're only like 20-30 page chunks at a time, so I'm reading that. I'm not going to go into details because it's not anything that's been published, and it's okay. I don't know how to get out of reading it. I mean, it isn't that it's bad, it's just not what I typically read, So, I've tried actually to delicately extract myself from this, and it isn't working.
Right. But,
After I finished that, I picked up Half Broke Horses, which is by Jeanette Walls. She is the author of The Glass Castle. And this is, what is it called? Let me see if it has it. A true life novel. So it's based on the life of her grandmother. And so it's a kind of, it is fictionalized, but it's all stuff that she was actually told. I'll read this one too. This one's a little longer, but Jeanette Walls's memoir, The Glass Castle, was, quote, nothing short of spectacular. Now, in Half Broke Horses, she brings us the story of her grandmother, told in a first-person voice that is authentic, irresistible, and triumphant. Those old cows knew trouble was coming before we did. So begins the story of Lily Casey Smith, Jeanette Walls' no-nonsense, resourceful, and spectacularly compelling grandmother. By age 6, Lily was helping her father break horses. At 15, she left home to teach in a frontier town, riding 500 miles on her pony alone to get to her job. She learned to drive a car. Quote, I loved cars even more than I loved horses. They didn't need to be fed if they weren't working, and they didn't leave big piles of manure all over the place. And fly a plane. And with her husband Jim, she ran a vast ranch in Arizona. She raised 2 children, one of whom is Jeanette's memorable mother, Rosemary Smith Walls, unforgettably portrayed in The Glass Castle. Lily survived tornadoes, droughts, floods, the Great Depression, and the most heartbreaking personal tragedy. She bristled at prejudice of all kinds against women, Native Americans, and anyone else who didn't fit the mold. Rosemary Smith Walls always told Jeanette that she was like her grandmother, and in this true life novel, Jeanette Walls channels that kindred spirit. Half Broke Horses is Laura Ingalls Wilder for adults, as riveting and dramatic as Isaac Dennison's Out of Africa or Beryl Markham's West with the Night. Destined to become a classic, it will transfix audiences everywhere. I really enjoyed this one a lot. It helped. I was on vacation, and there were parts of it that were set in New Mexico and West Texas and parts of the world that I had been, but it was really cool. Like, places that I had just really had just been were getting mentioned, and that was pretty cool. So that one I would highly recommend. That was, and it was a quick read. I am currently reading Paper Ghosts, which is by Julia Heberlin, I think. I'm going to pull that one up too because I stink at describing them.
Yeah, me too.
I just can't do it. That's why I don't do book talks. So I'm currently reading this one. Carl Lewis Feldman is an old man who was once a celebrated photographer. That was before he was tried for the murder of a young woman and acquitted, before his admission to a care home for dementia. Now his daughter has come to see him to take him on a trip. Only she's not his daughter, and if she has her way, he's not coming back. Because Carl's past has finally caught up with him, the young woman driving the car is convinced her passenger is guilty and that he's killed other young women, including her sister Rachel. Now they're following the trail of his photographs, his clues, his alleged crimes, to see if he remembers any of it. Gosh, this is written so terribly. There's like periods and commas and places that aren't needed. Confesses to any of it, to discover what really happened to Rachel. Has Carl truly forgotten what he did, or is he just pretending? Perhaps he's guilty of nothing and she's the liar. Either way, in driving him into the Texan wilderness, she's taking a terrible risk, for if Carl really is a serial killer, she's alone in the most dangerous place of all. This is really good so far. It's set in our part of Texas, so she's been in like the Waco area to, she's actually currently in Galveston. She spent some time in Houston at the hotel that I've stayed at before, and the Hotel Zaza, except it wasn't that when I stayed there, in the medical center. And it's with the atmospheric and knowing the places that she's talking about,
right.
But it's also, you know, a creepy suspense novel on top of it, which I really like. Now, the weirdest thing about this one is it came out in 2018, so it is a really new novel, but it is so current that there are references to Harvey, which we are currently, this is, the right now is the 1-year anniversary of Hurricane Harvey. So, and I'm not lying when those of us here still have PTSD related to it. I mean, I still get anxious when I hear it brought up. And I'm sitting on the bus and I'm reading this book and I'm like, oh, cool, this is Houston, blah, blah, blah. then something about Harvey, and I'm like, or, you know, Harvey devastated Houston, and I'm like, whoa, what? I was like, I was not expecting to find you in this book.
Yeah.
But there, I am really enjoying it, and that, and it actually, now that I'm expecting it, it makes it more real, because it's really very, very current. So I'm enjoying that. I can't recommend it yet because I haven't reached the end, and who knows what's going to happen. I started listening to The Raven King by Maggie Stiefvater. I actually started listening to it last November when Laura and I, my daughter and I, drove to Austin for the Texas Book Festival. We were listening to it in the car, and I never really got back to it. But I've been caught up with the podcast, my audio podcasts. So when I didn't have any more knitting podcasts to listen to, I would listen to the book. And now I am less than an hour away from finishing it. So I'm almost done with that. It's really good. It's been hard because it had been so long since I listened to it. So long since I read the first two books in this series that there's a lot I don't really remember. I may need to go back and refresh my memory when I get to the end. I'm like, okay, what just happened? But I don't like the narrator. I don't know who he is, but I'm not feeling it. So that's all I'm reading. We've been watching, my school is starting back for my husband, actually Monday, but we've spent the summer, you know, playing games and watching movies. It's actually been really nice. And so we've been binge watching. We've been watching Sharp Objects on HBO, which is based on the novel by Gillian Flynn, and she actually, I think she was one of, if not the screenwriter, she was one of the screenwriters for it. The only Gillian Flynn I've read is Gone Girl, but it's on my list to read. We'll see if I'll still read it after the series is finished, because I'll know everything that happens. But the series is fantastic. It is really well done. It is super creepy, super uncomfortable. The finale, I think, is tomorrow night. The last week's was, it was really uncomfortable. It was really, really uncomfortable, but the whole thing is very compelling. Amy Adams is doing an amazing job as the main character, who is an alcoholic and dealing with some major, major demons. That said, if you have a history of self-harm or know people who have, major, major trigger warning. That is a key theme in it, and it would be really hard, I think, if this was something of one of your own personal demons. So there's that warning. And then we just finished season one of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime, which is just delightful. We are really, really enjoying that. I don't know when the second season is coming out. I know that it is coming. But the main character is, it's set in late 50s, early 60s. I'm not actually sure what year exactly. And the main character is a young Jewish woman. She married young. She's got two kids, and her husband left her. And her husband was an aspiring comedian. And after he left her, she ends up in the club where he attempted comedy, and ends up on the stage, and she is hilarious. She is becoming a stand-up comic, and it's just really, really good. We're thoroughly enjoying that one. So that is, I'm sure there are other things that we're watching, but those are the two that like really stand out. In the kitchen, I don't have a whole lot, but I did have a few things I wanted to talk about. If I can even remember them at this point, but Eli's, my son's 20th birthday was about a month ago, and he always requests a cheesecake, so I made a strawberry cheesecake for him this year. It was like just a plain cheesecake with strawberries swirled in. Delicious. Very good. I had one piece and sent the rest home with them, so one of the benefits of having my kids not living in my house is I can get rid of leftovers. And then I've mentioned in previous podcasts I was doing kind of an ice cream experiment this summer. I'm over the ice cream for, well, I'm over making ice cream. I'm never over ice cream, but.
It's a little more labor intensive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard, but none of them, they're good, but they're not as good as going and getting a thing of Ben and Jerry's that I didn't have to make, or trying something new, or going out for ice cream.
Right.
You know. But I did wild blueberries, which was a Ben and Jerry's recipe. I did not like it at all. I think maybe if the blueberries were pureed, but the frozen blueberries were kind of crystallized, and it just hit that. None of us liked that one.
You didn't like the ice nuggets?
No. Did not like the ice nuggets. Then I made a cognac one, which I actually ended up using honey bourbon instead of, we didn't have cognac. And I wasn't going to buy a thing of cognac just to make ice cream with. But that one I was actually really good. It was just kind of like a plain. This was from Jenny's ice cream book. It was more like a plain custard with just the hint of alcohol. So that was actually pretty good. And then I made banana out of Ben and Jerry's, again, with the crystallized fruit. We've decided we don't like, we're not going to do a fruit ice cream again. That one actually, none of us liked it, and I ended up throwing it out, which that says a lot, because we don't eat pretty much any kind of ice cream. And then I had made mocha walnut before, but we did just a plain mocha, and that was pretty good, but I liked the nuts in it better. So I don't think I've made any others, and I don't really have any intention to it. And so my in the kitchen stuff is limited to dinners right now. It's just too hot to bake. I did make banana bread using coconut oil last week because I had some bananas that I needed to get out of the house. And one of Laura's roommates, and Laura's Annie Lai's roommates, is can't have dairy. So usually if I send something home, she doesn't. It's not something she can eat. And I wanted to make something that she could have, so I made the non-dairy. And it was okay. I mean, it didn't rise as much as I would expect it to. And I didn't put nuts in it because I didn't have them. But it was a decent... I also slightly overcooked it, so the only problem I had with it had a slight burnt taste. But that is the only baking I've done, and I'm itching to bake, but it's just too hot. We just don't. Our house leaks heat, or in brings in the heat really bad. So other than dinner, that's it. So I think that's it. I think we are done. Hopefully it won't be 6 weeks. I suspect we can probably make time to do in about a month. I mean, our weekends are pretty free, so
yeah,
it shouldn't be a problem. We will talk to you in about a month.
Uh-huh.
All right, bye.
Bye.